That's Curtis Fuller. Did I say Fuller? I meant Fuller. And his quintet of masters with Minor Vamp. It's from his 1959 album, Bluesette. Curtis Fuller, of course, is on trombone. Jimmy Garrison on bass. Al Harewood on drums. Tommy Flanagan, one of my favorites, on piano. And Benny Golson, another favorite, on tenor sax. This is Lead Stories. I'm Utrice Lead, and as I speak, Betsy DeVos is about to deliver her commencement speech at Bethune-Cookman University in Daytona Beach, Florida. I can tell you, yes, she is surrounded by the president and officials from the university as if to comfort her, because the environment was far from hospitable. The students began booing, and ever since she stepped onto the stage, they were constantly booing. So they made it very clear that even though they weren't able to prevent her from appearing, they made it clear that she was not welcome there. In the meantime, however, a recall, as it were, a petition has been found. Sorry, I'm having some very strange problems. I meant to say launched. A recall petition has been launched to recall the president of the university. And so far, there have been at least 50,000 people registering their discontent with President Edison Jackson, and they want him out of there. So we have a story to follow up on, but that's what's happening now. She just got on the stage and hasn't yet begun to speak by the time we got on air. So I imagine by now she's about ready to speak, but I can tell you, this is not a warm reception at all. They are very, very angry with Jackson and other school officials for inviting her. And, of course, this was a sneak invitation. It wasn't really publicized until about a week ago or so. So as to minimize the reaction. But that's what's happening now. Well, guess what we're going to be talking about today? We're going to be talking about that doozy of a firing served up by Donald Trump yesterday, and which has already begun to get instant backlash. Firing of James Comey, the former, now FBI director. He was on a recruiting trip in Los Angeles yesterday when he learned that he'd been fired by President Trump and that his deputy, Andrew McCabe, temporarily would head up the agency. Trump and Justice Department officials said that Comey violated Justice Department rules and procedures by publicly discussing certain aspects of the Department of Justice's investigation of Hillary Clinton's private email server. And based on how Comey was handling the Clinton probe as a whole, his bosses, and especially Trump, said it appeared that Comey was being too lenient on Clinton and her targeted associates. Comey's firing has become the latest and perhaps most stunning development in U.S. partisan politics. And so we are going to be talking about key aspects of the drama that might more fully answer why Comey was fired. I will tell you, before we go any further, tomorrow is going to be an incredible program, adding even more dimension to this, but some exclusive information that we have about James Comey. So, what happened yesterday? How did it hit you? Are you just at a point of absolute pain and you feel great disaster, pending disaster? Some people are pushing now for a special prosecutor. Some people want this thing blown wide open, and they want to know what the status of the investigation is, what has been uncovered so far. It's getting crazier and crazier by the moment. But the main thing is, what do you think is the reason? I mean, is the stated reason by Trump that Comey essentially had mishandled or botched the investigation into Hillary Clinton's private email server? Do you believe that was the particular and specific reason for the firing? Do you think they handled this well? I mean, it was so public, it was very embarrassing, and I suspect it might have been meant to be that way, you know, as a special little dig as he departs. But there are many dimensions of this firing that we ought to take a look at, because it's too hard. It's too hard not to do it. You know, you have to take pieces of it, put it together, see what you make of it, see what emerges as a very interesting dimension of this development. Well, of course, Trump is saying that, you know, the decision, you know, it was very hard to make, etc. But in the end, he got the backing of other officials in the Justice Department in particular, and presumably in the FBI itself, that said, go right ahead. We agree with you. We have politicians like Rand Paul and others saying, it's about time. He should have been gone a long time ago. And yet we have others, still others, saying, well, we need to know more. And we need to know more via a special prosecutor or a new special hearing into this whole debacle so that we can make sense of it. Did Trump do the right thing, in your view? With what we know, okay, we don't know everything at all. We can concede that. But with what we know and with what we have seen develop over the past several months, the circumstances, the environment of this whole thing, what do you make of it? Let's talk about that at 1-888-874-4888. And we'll get further into it. Really, I tell you, tomorrow is going to be a heck of a program, because it proves once again that what you see probably isn't all that we need to see. What we know isn't probably all that we need to know. And this is one of those things. We don't know enough. We aren't sure of what it is we're looking at. And we don't know what the motivation is. When it comes down to it, the president is entitled to choose somebody that he likes or wants to be in that position to head up the FBI. But it was done so nastily, the whole thing done just so tackily. And I think Trump was trying to send a special message of disdain for Comey, saying, not only are you out, I've made a spectacle of your firing, and treating it almost like, you know, that show that he had. I don't watch these things. But you know the show I'm talking about, where essentially people are fired and pronounced so to the entire public. But did it have to go that way? And in your mind, what do you think so far is is, are we really seeing what we need to see? Is it everything we need to know? Do you suspect there is a whole other agenda going on here in getting rid of Director James Comey, not only getting rid of him, but getting rid of him in this manner, getting rid of him at this particular time? We have investigations going on into Trump's connections or possible connections with Russia. We have also an ongoing investigation into whether Russia itself had interfered with the election, as Hillary Clinton had contended. We have, I've lost track of the investigations that have been initiated so far and supposedly are ongoing, but without any announced results. But at this time, why is the firing occurring at this time? What do you think might be the reason for that? And again, do we know all we need to know? What do you suspect is going on? 888-874-4888. We'll take this break and come back to your thoughts about this stunning development. You're listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. We're talking about the aftermath of yesterday, which was quite a stunning day, with President Trump serving up what I call a doozy, a whopper. And that was firing now former FBI Director James Comey, saying that he had botched the investigation into Hillary Clinton's email server. He had mishandled other cases as well, other investigations. And essentially, he, meaning Trump, had lost confidence in Comey's ability to run the Federal Bureau of Investigation. From Michigan, Leona, you're on the air.
Oh, greetings, Eutrice. Thank you for taking my call. Yeah, and greetings to your audience.
Thank you.
You know, you're very welcome. In terms of the Comey firing, I've only made a couple of observations. Now, mind you, I was never taught to be a critical thinker. And in this late stage of my life, I'm trying to learn how to do that. But nonetheless, there was a clip on C-SPAN where the Secretary of State, Rex Tillerson, he was meeting with the Russian foreign minister, Sergei Lavrov. And the Russian foreign minister cracked a joke about the firing of James Comey. They had a brief little press conference, whatever. They, you know, the two men, Tillerson and Lavrov, came out. They shook hands, you know, posing for the press. And one of the reporters asked a question about the Comey firing to the Russian foreign minister, and he's, you know, made a quip like, oh, really? Was he really fired? Are you kidding? You know,
yes,
but
I saw that. The look of total surprise on his face that this had happened.
Right, yeah. And it also, to me, looked like he was being very controlled and monitored by Tillerson's body language. It seemed like he was... Well, maybe I'm throwing more into the mix than needs be. But, yeah, I'm glad you saw that because I caught that, too. I thought, oh, that's kind of interesting. I wonder what that's about. And the other thing I just wanted to add was I was surprised, and this is just minutia here. I had no idea that James Comey was 6 feet eight in height.
He's very tall. He's a very tall guy. Tall and slim.
Yes, ma'am. Okay.
Now, let me ask you, do you think...
Yes, ma'am.
you know, it was done with great dramatic effect yesterday. Everybody was talking about this. All the news stations and so forth were, this was a huge story. Do you think that it was done also to be extremely dramatic, that this firing was not to be a regular firing, but it was to be an extremely dramatic firing?
Oh, yes, ma'am. It seemed like a straight-up smackdown from where, you know, from, we would call it a smackdown. That's what that was. And it was reminiscent of that show. I think it was The Apprentice where, you know, Trump
Apprentice,
got off on
that's
firing
the one
people.
I was trying to remember. I just don't watch TV. So
yeah, neither
I had
I.
a hard time
yeah.
recalling the name of it.
Right, yes. But, yeah, it seemed like, very dramatic, very, it had the flavor of that old show. And it's a lot of theater involved, I'm pretty sure, and especially after watching Tillerson and Lavrov, their interaction on that short clip on, you know, it's like a big joke to them. You know, it's like, whatever, you know.
Yeah, they got, but that suggests, don't you think, it suggests that this was not just an ordinary firing, but there was something personal going on between Trump and Comey. Do you feel that? Did you get any of that?
No, ma'am, I haven't, only because I haven't been tuned in that much to it. But not to say it's not there, it's just that I haven't, no.
Okay.
But I've heard people talk about this being similar to some dynamics in the Watergate.
Well, you know, the funny thing is yesterday, as I began the program, I remarked that yesterday was in some ways a very weird anniversary because in 1974, it was the day that Congress officially opened an investigation into Richard Nixon.
Oh.
So it was very odd that this happened. Also, the firing of Comey happened yesterday and to such incredible fanfare and with the intent of humiliating him. But, you know, it's just a one period of time taking over another period of time, but it's the same thing. Presidents having difficulty staying in office. And we talked yesterday about the efforts being made by several different local governments to petition Congress to begin the process of looking into whether Donald Trump himself should be impeached. So it was bizarre that all of this happened yesterday. We talked about that yesterday, and by yesterday afternoon, we had this floodgate open with the story of Comey's firing. Thanks so much for getting us started today, Leona. I so appreciate it.
May I ask you one more question, if you don't mind? Yeah.
Sure.
The fact that this firing happened before the Russian foreign minister met with the Secretary of State,
yes.
Does that have any bearing, you think?
No, you have to tell me what you think.
Oh, well, the timing seemed a little interesting to me. He got fired a few days before the Secretary of State met with the foreign minister of Russia. So, I don't know.
There is great significance to that. Very great significance to that. But I don't want to blow tomorrow's program.
Okay.
You would see the connection here. Tomorrow is going to be incredible.
Okay, I'll be sure to tune in.
And we will zero in on Mr. Comey himself. And we'll see an entirely different side to Mr. Comey. But you're right, that is significant, considering what the Congress, there's supposed to be this ongoing probe into Russia. The guy comes into your face, into your space, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you see the symbolism of all of that?
Wait, you say the guy comes right into your face? What?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
The Russian ambassador comes directly into your country the day after Trump fires the FBI director.
Yes. Okay.
So
yes.
In the real world, that should never happen, but it seems to suggest a kind of pot shot at Comey, now not only by the President of the United States, but the ambassador. See? They're supposed to be looking at any possible connection between the Russian government and Trump in particular for basically shifting the results of the election. And here it comes, right in your face. And he's shaking hands with your president. So there's a lot of, you have to pay attention to some of these things. They're quite symbolic, but they really are meant to communicate a message.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Okay. Thank you for taking my call, Yatrice.
Thank you for calling in. From Brooklyn, Mitch, you're on the air.
Hi. Good afternoon, Yatrice. How are you today?
Hello.
Good.
I'm hanging in. How about you?
Oh, I'm hanging.
Good. Let's hang it together.
All right. Yeah, I was reading something on the internet today that was pretty interesting. It's where Comey had requested more money 2 or 3 days ago for the investigating and more personnel for investigating the Russian connection between Trump and the election.
Mm-hmm.
So in my opinion, that would play a big part in him getting dismissed quickly.
Well, you know, Trump was also asking for more money, too. He wants more money for more soldiers in Afghanistan. He wants 5,000 more soldiers, if you please. So it's a lot of people asking for things. But do you suspect that the relationship is far more cordial between Trump and the Russians than it was obviously between Comey and Trump?
Yeah, I do, because I think it's a money thing, really, between the Russians and Trump. Trump is all about money. He's not about relationships, as per se. He's all about money. And, you know, all of his friends, you know, they're connected with oil, and him and his family, they're connected. So they're all about money. But to him, running this country, he thinks he's running his own business.
Well, we will find out tomorrow.
Okay.
Just to keep you know, I'm doing my own little drama building here, but we'll find out tomorrow that Comey is very much into money.
Oh, okay.
Yep,
right.
And that's where it gets interesting. Comey is very, very much into money. So he presented a side of himself that seems to suggest he was just a lawman trying to do the right thing. You know, a guy running by the book, a guy basically calling the shots as he saw them. And, you know, regardless of who he was investigating, he was going to deliver justice. No politics involved. But we will see tomorrow. I need to sneeze. We'll see tomorrow how deep into money Comey has been and still is.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll see tomorrow.
It's going to get interesting. Before you go, though, let me ask you, this whole process, as a citizen looking from the outside in, how does it make you feel as a citizen? I mean, do you feel like this is a democratic process involving you or being pursued in your behalf or in behalf of some great ideal of justice? Do you feel that, or do you feel that there's something completely different happening here?
I think it's completely different. These people have no interest in the ordinary people at all. It's all about them. We don't exist in their book. We're just a money tag. You know, how can we get over on the people? And how
what
can we
did
get
you, what did you notice
money?
Most? What struck you most as the announcement was made yesterday on the media? I don't know which medium you got the message from. But what struck you most about the way the media conveyed the news and what you think it intended to do, the reaction by the media, the same medium that you probably watched yesterday? Did it seem like it was taking sides? Did it seem like there were more pro-Trump, more pro-Comey?
No, I really didn't get into it that much, you know, because, you know, it's, like I said, to me, the system isn't set up for me anyway. It's set up for them, you know. So I really didn't get into how it was done. I just wasn't surprised.
You weren't surprised?
No, I wasn't surprised because after reading about, you know, him going to the Justice Department and asking for more money, more personnel for the Russian investigation, and you know, so Trump and saying, "Hey, this is my house. You know, you can't come in here doing this." You know.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, the system is set up against us.
They have their world, and we just looking in on it.
Yes, we
know we're there.
Yes, ma'am. All the way down the line.
All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Rose, you're on the air from New York.
Well, hi, Therese. I think that, you know, they should appoint a special prosecutor. But having said that, I think that he did the right thing in firing Comey. Now, there was a
sword up on the camera. Hold on for a second. I just want to ask a question. Based on what you just said, why do you think that there should be a special prosecutor?
Well, to put everybody's minds at ease that, you know, this is fair and balanced, that we're going to continue with an investigation. Otherwise, people are going to be saying, you see, the new FBI director, he's just in the pocket of Trump. So just to keep it on the level, so to speak, that they should do that. Now, having said that, there was a smoking gun or a straw that broke the camel's back that justifies what Trump did. Now, what was that? About a half hour prior to the news media telling us he was fired, there was another breaking story. What was it? The breaking story, I saw it on CNN, Comey apologizes for having misspoken, in quotes, I'm saying in quotes, for having misspoken at the committee where he said that the rumors or Huma Abedin released thousands of classified emails. In other words, he lied, let's say, or he misspoke to the committee. That is a bombshell to have an FBI director implicating somebody for having committed a potential crime and then coming out and saying, you know, 3 days later, oh, I misspoke. The Congress, the committee members were ready. They were ready to have her arrested. So as soon as I saw that on CNN, they better fire him, and a half hour later they did fire him.
But the question is, I'm going back to your contention that a special prosecutor is needed. Why would this? You kind of explained it. But what would be the advantage of having a special prosecutor as opposed to, you know, you have an investigation? The FBI clearly is capable of conducting an investigation. The Justice Department can conduct an investigation. And is the question in your mind the conduct of the FBI director or the conduct of the investigation?
People are going to say that it's biased. If it's an appointee of Trump, namely the new FBI director that he names, people are going to say the guy is biased.
But he's not an appointee of Trump. He's actually a holdover from the Obama administration.
But if he appoints a new one, now that he fired the old one, Comey, now that he appoints a new one, the people are already saying, the media was already saying, it doesn't matter that it's going to continue the investigation because we can't trust any appointee that Trump makes in this position. We can't trust it. So based on that, that's what the media is saying. That the media is saying it, the people, many of them are going along with it. So therefore, okay, do the right thing, put in a special unbiased prosecutor and let that that investigation continue. But the point really is, why is the media covering up? There's a blackout of news where they will not tell us that a half hour prior to this release, this breaking news, Comey came out and said, oh, I misspoke a few days ago before a committee.
That was covered because I read the stories. That particular story was covered.
They stuffed it as if it was insignificant, as if it wasn't this tremendous piece of information that he went before the Congress under oath and told them that the Huma Abedin released thousands of people of pieces of classified material, which is a crime. It's a felony. And it turned out it wasn't even true. But he made a mistake. How do you make such a mistake? And so for him to be that incompetent, he deserved to have been fired. And I think that was the straw that broke the camel's back to make them release it yesterday.
No, it wasn't. They would like you to think that, but that really wasn't. You notice that in none of the comments so far, including yours, have we heard about we've not heard anything about a certain issue and about a certain person. It's about Comey misstating how many emails Huma Abedin transferred to her or sent to her husband's laptop that they retrieved. It's about a whole bunch of things, except fill in the blank, except.
All right, the right-wing media, they've been after Huma Abedin for years now, saying that she's part of the Muslim Brotherhood, she's a mole there and all that, and now here he was before a committee giving them their smoking gun that she released classified emails. It turns out it wasn't even true. He deserves
to
be
fired.
Yeah, but
I'm asking you, you're confirming. Up until yesterday, we even heard about Huma Abedin. We heard about the husband, Wiener.
Right.
We've heard about mistakes that Comey himself admitted to making in the course of this investigation. What?
But he would not admit them. He would not admit it under oath. He says,
just listen for a second. I'm asking, what didn't we hear about so far?
I don't know. I'll keep listening to find out. All right. Bye, please. I have to go. Bye.
Okay. Thank you. Well, what we haven't heard, obviously, in the middle of all of this stuff, and they're giving us all this explanation about why he had to go. Okay, so we have the issue as it pertains to him outlined. We have Huma Abedin mentioned. We have her husband, Mr. Wiener, mentioned. We have the Justice Department policies and principles and all that. Maybe that should be the next question. What wasn't mentioned? I mean, you would think that this would be a major part of the story yesterday. You would think that we would have heard some kind of commentary on this, but it wasn't mentioned. Any takers? I mean, this seems to me to be a big story. This seems to be a big story. We heard about the Russians being investigated. We heard about Trump himself being investigated in terms of any possible connections between him personally and people who were on his campaign staff and even people on his current staff, and what, if any, connections they have to Russia right now or during the campaign. All of this is great. You have a cut and dried case laid out as to why Donald Trump was forced to just bring the hammer down on Comey. So he's gone. There's a big blank space. And nobody mentioned it for the entire day yesterday. Don't you find that odd? Walter from Virginia, please help us. Help us.
Hello, honorary Aunt Utrecht. How are you?
Utrecht, Lord, you just put about 24 more years on my 16.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. Well, I'll retract that then. An aunt in my heart. How's that? Not in span of years. I have many thoughts, but I'll just give the one. What we haven't heard about is the reascension of Hillary Clinton.
Hey! All right! Well, hello! You see what? We should all move to Virginia to get to be as smart as you. Now, all this big rigmarole, nothing about Hillary Clinton and nothing from Hillary Clinton. What does that lead you to believe?
Well, what it leads me to believe is that this is part and parcel of her remaking maneuvers to try to make herself relevant again, and that she can actually point and say, yes, there is fire to the smoke from what she was saying about the Russians interceding in the election.
Yes. Anything else?
And, oh, by the way, that, you know, her email debacle, really, there was really nothing to that.
All right. We're getting closer. Absolutely right. Completely missing. And I thought surely we will have lots and lots of comments from Hillary Clinton. No comments. But what could her role possibly be in all of this nonsense that was going on yesterday? How could she possibly have figured into this drama?
Now, that's a good question. I mean, I have a lot of speculation, but I don't honestly know.
We're all speculating. Go ahead and speculate.
Well,
we will get the goods tomorrow.
The power that she holds within the deep state that have infiltrated the Trump administration have brought some powers to bear to the people that are whispering in Trump's ear. And for him to make that move, because as you had noted earlier, you know, he had actually given accolades to Director Comey when he reinduced the emails, 8 days before the election. And so for him to do a total 180 at this point leads me to believe that, something more is going on here than meets the eye. And that's
something more is going on here than meets the eye. A lot more is going on here than meets the eye.
So I would assume that some vaccine machinations held by the Clinton power machine within the deep state that have had some type of impact on this decision.
Well, I would say that you are so close, it's not even funny. But we will know tomorrow, because we're going to do a stretch out on this particular point. And you will see that Mr. Comey is not the saint that people think he is. And you're right. People had said before, this is about money. Yes, big money. Big money. And it is quite possible that it reached a point where they couldn't pretend to protect her anymore. Comey could not protect Hillary Clinton anymore. And here we are at a vital stage in Trump's presidency where he needs to demonstrate to his base that he's fulfilling that promise. What's the promise?
Well,
lock
one of the
her
promises
up.
Correct, that he would go after Hillary Clinton.
Not just, he wouldn't do it. Who was supposed to do it?
Comey.
Exactly. And it was Comey who said, days before the election, that they found no evidence of anything. There was nothing to be found incriminate Hillary Clinton or anybody else.
Now
on
I smell
her team.
Okay. I smell the aroma. Okay, what's to be unveiled? All right.
Right. So now that put, you know, they went through the machinations and the, you know, the motions of doing a thorough investigation. But then he wasn't delivering anything. And then when it did come almost down to the wire, he delivers this preposterous statement saying, not only didn't they find anything, but do you remember the other half of that statement? No prosecutor.
Yeah.
No prosecutor worth his or her salt would be able to find anything. He exonerated Hillary Clinton before even asking her a question. He granted immunity to her staff that they were interested in questioning. Cheryl Mills and Uma Abedin both got immunity. How do you grant people immunity before you ask them any questions? So they stretched it out to the point where you have to have something, according to, this is Trump's frustration. Trump is saying, listen here, this was a pivotal point in my candidacy. You're working for me. I can't have you run around as if you are in charge of this. You're in charge of the presidency? No, I am the president. And I want some resolution of this issue right now. I am very upset about the position you took that nobody has ever seen, where a target of prosecution is exculpated, exonerated before being asked a single question. So it became a point of suspicion, the nature between the relationship of Hillary Clinton and James Comey. Are they on the same team? And are they working, or is Comey working for Trump and against Trump? And then Trump brought the hammer down. Because it was very interesting, a story like this, you would expect Hillary Clinton's face to be all over the place, talking about how she'd been done wrong. And you see, you know, this is the kind of situation I had to put up with. We have a dictatorial president who is trying to manipulate the outcome of an investigation. But I don't think that that's what happened. I think Comey began to suspect, Trump began to suspect that Comey's loyalties were elsewhere, and that Comey actually was running the department almost the way J. Edgar Hoover did, like it's his own little country. And so the best thing to do before it gets any further is to just dump him. So you just have to look at how things are playing out. Just look at how people are moving. What are they saying? And in this case, the biggest clue comes from the absence of somebody in this fray. The media went crazy and, you know, but it was all a distraction. all a distraction. Tune in tomorrow. You'll get
some
more.
I definitely will. So much.
You got to tune in tomorrow. This is a what you're about to learn tomorrow is going to be a huge part of what has happened here before our eyes, and we're not seeing it. That's how good they are at distraction, creating distractions. Hillary Clinton is nowhere commenting about anything. She is MIA. And there's got to be a reason. Well, I am so glad, Walter, that Virginia stood up for itself today and got to the closest answer, got closest to the answer. Thanks so much for calling in.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ali from New York, you're on the air. How are you? Oh, we lost Ali. 888-874-4888. Now, this is why I say when you look at a story, you pay attention to unusual things. I got so fed up of all the analysts and whatnot talking about what was going on last night and throughout the evening, I said, oh my God, I can't take any more of this, because they are reacting literally to the story. The story is James Comey has been fired, and this is what we think about it. One reporter said this is the worst kind of treatment he has seen an FBI director get, and you know, they're on that tangent. But what was of interest to me is the person who isn't talking and who should be all over the place talking, because after all, she is an aggrieved person, isn't she? Harmed irreparably by the president and his, because by the time this election was concluded, Comey had been held over from the Obama administration. So how come you're not talking about anything? And how come he isn't talking about you? When, in fact, the investigation was supposed to be about Hillary Clinton and her emails. She's not talking. He's not talking. And yet, this is a big, 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 big story. So how do you cover a story this huge? And the story is screaming at you based on who is absent from the scene. And then you proceed anyway to cover the story for the American people. Nothing of what they're saying there is really the story. The story, in my mind, this is what piques my interest, is what could cause two people seemingly on different sides, way different sides of the story. One is a target of prosecution. One is the prosecutor, the top prosecutor, who previously had said, before he even got into this thing, he said, there's nothing to prosecute here. And no competent prosecutor would prosecute this case. This is what he said about, you know, basically aiming at Loretta Lynch. Basically saying, what am I supposed to prosecute here? There's nothing to prosecute. Huma Abedin and Cheryl Mills, who worked very closely with Hillary Clinton, were given immunity. They were not asked any questions. The people best situated to bring some light to what's going on here, it was Comey who gave them a free pass. The main target of prosecution, she gets a free pass. So that to me is a story. I would expect somebody on that side of things to be part of the story, to be part of the big drama that unfolded yesterday. Nothing. No quotes, no press conferences. They vanished into thin air. And Comey, and neither Comey nor Trump mentions any of this stuff. So that automatically tells me as a journalist that there is a connection here. And it probably was proven and not in Comey's favor. The points added up against him because this was a vital part, a central part of Donald Trump's promise to his political base. He's been in office now for more than 100 days, and there's been no movement, even though this investigation began before he got into office. And it appeared, I think, at some point to Trump that Comey was playing on the other team. Even though he was head of the FBI, he made it possible. He provided an escape hatch. This is my thinking. One of Trump's biggest issues, he provided an escape hatch. And it didn't look like the investigation against Hillary Clinton was going to go any further. And that, in effect, Trump was facing a rebellion by his own FBI director. And I think that's what brought the hammer down. Thanks so much for joining me today. As I said, tomorrow I urge you to listen because there will be many major revelations tomorrow that will be shocking. Stay tuned. Coming up next, the NDC Savings Club. You can reach me at leadstories@gmail.com. As always, a pleasure and a great privilege to be in your company. And may I remind you that effort in Brooklyn with regard to Medgar Evers College is still ongoing. You can call 347-730-3620 or 718-440-6892. For more information, we got to get involved in protecting the honor and integrity and good name of Medgar Evers and not have Hillary Clinton on that campus. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.